Well, I'd like to talk this evening about the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is clear that there is but one God. And yet within what we call the Godhead, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are all equally God. They are not three gods jostling. They are one God. And we may not fully understand nor comprehend the relationship between the three. But the Bible is clear that they are three separate persons, and yet they are all three equally God, equally divine, equally powerful, equally deserving of our worship. And the Lord Jesus spoke there in the 14th of John, both of the Father and of himself, the Son, but also of the Holy Spirit. Now I say this evening that the Holy Spirit is sometimes underemphasized in our worship. He may also be overemphasized in our worship, but he can never be overemphasized in his importance nor in the ministry he has, both in the world and among we believers. And I'm not looking at a particular passage this evening, but I'm going to look at a number of passages which speak of his work in our lives and the reason he is so active in our churches. Well, first of all, he, the Holy Spirit, reveals truth. Divine truth cannot be calculated or worked out like some kind of mathematical formula. The philosopher cannot sit in his cave and observe the world around him and arrive at an accurate theology. Divine truth must be communicated to us. It must be shared with us. It must be revealed to us. And the Holy Spirit's work is to reveal truth to people who are otherwise blind. Again, in chapter 16 and verse 13 of John, we're told, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit's work is important because he reveals to us divine truth, which we would not, as fallen earthly creatures, otherwise know, nor understand, nor comprehend. He is the Spirit of truth. And there are many spirits out there, by which I may refer to actual spirits or simply world philosophies, which are deceiving and which will lead us astray. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, can only communicate truth to us. Now, when the biblical writers were busy putting their pens in their hands and putting ink on papyrus or paper, the Holy Spirit was guiding their hands and their thoughts. Sure, they still have their own vocabulary. They were still people living in their time, responding to the events of their day. And yet the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, was communicating to them the very mind of God, that when we open up the Bible, God's word, we are not just reading Jeremiah or Paul or Peter or Isaiah. We are reading the words of God himself, the very Spirit of truth. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit both teaches and reminds, as we heard from John chapter 14. But the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We human beings are wont to forget, so much. I'm sure we all have examples of things we have forgotten and it's been very embarrassing. But on a spiritual level, we forget the Lord and all his promises, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring to mind and keep at the forefront of our thinking the very words of Jesus Christ himself. Let me give you an example. Why is it that some of us feel scared, afraid, nervous, or alone? Did not Jesus say, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age? But I, like so many of you, I forget that wonderful promise. And sometimes when I'm in a difficult situation, the Holy Spirit has to remind me of those wonderful promises of God found in his word. Oh, that the Holy Spirit were more in my life reminding me of the words of Jesus Christ, those wonderful, precious words of life. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit was working, revealing truth to you before you even became a Christian. The Lord Jesus said that when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Sometimes he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's the Holy Spirit who is at work in people's lives, convicting them of sin, that they might therefore be pointed to the Saviour. Unless you understand you are a sinner, you will never grasp your need of a saviour and your need to be saved. But the Holy Spirit is convicting people, reproving them of sin, making up for the fact that their own consciences are too feeble to do the job themselves, that they might come to Christ. The Holy Spirit was at work in your life before you ever understood it. Secondly, the Holy Spirit confirms our relationship with God. Paul tells the Romans in chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, what I don't think Paul is saying there is that you're only really a Christian or you only have an assurance of salvation if you get a kind of special feeling inside. Now, sometimes I do have nice feelings inside, but sometimes I don't. Feelings come and feelings go. And if you rely on them, you'll fall. What I think the apostle means there is that the Holy Spirit confirms our salvation in his word, the Bible. But that's not just an intellectual reading, but confirms it within. You know, occasionally I've been known to worry that, you know, what if I die and I stand before God and I don't give the right answer? Or what if I get there and I look back and I think, my life wasn't good enough? Well, of course it wasn't good enough. And it isn't good enough. But when I read in the Bible that the just shall live by faith, and having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, the Holy Spirit brings to my mind those wonderful verses of the book that tell me it's not by being good or by being pious that gets me a place in heaven. It's by believing in the promised work of Christ. And the Holy Spirit confirms that word to my own spirit within. And that is why we can have an assurance. You can know you're saved. You can know beyond any doubt your sins are forgiven. You can have an absolute certainty that when your spirit leaves this body, it will go to be with Christ, which is better by far. Because the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He makes the promises of the Bible real and applies them to our heart. Let me tell you, friends, this evening, you have not come to a lecture. I'm not giving you some intellectual analysis of an ancient text or an ancient theological idea. I'm telling you that the promises of and the teachings of God in the Bible, which I hope the Holy Spirit is confirming to you in your own hearts. He confirms our relationship with God. He applies the promises of God in the Bible to our lives, to our hearts, to our minds, to our presence and to our futures. The third work of the Spirit upon which I'd like to dwell is He's making us holy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11, a passage with which we're not unfamiliar, Paul writes, "And that is what some of you were, having described a load of lifestyles and occupations which are unsavory. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." In other words, those Corinthian ne'er-do-wells who accepted the gospel all those years ago, who continue to screw it up and make a mess of things, the very Spirit of God is making them holy. And they are not the finished product any more than we are. But they are sanctified. They are justified. They are washed. They are Spirit-filled. I ought to explain, and my thinking has changed on this in the last decade. But when you become a Christian, you receive the Holy Spirit. I believe that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a one-off event and it happens at the start. Just like physical water baptism is a one-off event and it typically happens at the start or towards the start of your Christian life. You have the Holy Spirit. There are no two classes of believer, those who have him and those who don't. If you have him, you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you don't have him. And yet I do believe that we can be regularly filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. We can be full of the Holy Spirit, and therefore sometimes we can be less than full of the Holy Spirit. And the fuller we are, the more filled we are, the more like Christ we will want to be. So I say, says the Apostle Paul to the Galatians in chapter 5 verse 16, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We were born children of wrath. We were born corrupted and spoiled and soiled. The AV calls it the flesh. It's the old nature of Adam, which we inherited. And when we become a Christian, we're given a new nature. We are new creations. The old has gone. The new has come. And yet the old, in the body, to some extent, remains exercising an influence, trying to drag us down, trying to hold us back. There is a war going on in man's soul between the new nature and the Spirit of God and the old flesh. And Paul says, do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And the work of the Holy Spirit is not just about power. It's about making us clean on the inside. When we become a Christian, we are declared to be clean. We are considered clean. But the Holy Spirit achieves in reality what the work of Christ declares. He makes us righteous. He makes us holy. And it would be remiss of me not to talk of the fruits of the Spirit, which again Paul talks of in the fifth of Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when I look at those fruits, and I believe there are more fruits, by the way, but they are the ones that Paul there mentions. I see them and I think, yeah, I'm not sure I have all that much of them. I'm sometimes patient and I'm sometimes kind and, well, I have been faithful. But you see, you're not looking this evening at the finished product. The time you look at me and I am the finished product, we will both be in glory. Until then, I see you as a work in progress and you see me as a work in progress. But the Holy Spirit at work in my life says, there will be more patience here. I will make him kinder. I will make him more good. I will make him more faithful. The old nature would not have you be any of those. It would have you be impatient and fretting and joyless and bad and faithless. But the Holy Spirit says no. Where I dwell, it will be holy. Often one of the first things we do when we move into a new house is redecorate. And it might be there's nothing especially wrong with the wallpaper selected by the previous occupant. But the fact is, it's not yours. And you want to put your stamp upon it. You want to make your mark there. And you will bring in your furniture. And eventually you'll get rid of those old carpets. So that by the time you've been there a good while, it is truly your home. Friends, let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit moves into a redeemed, blood-washed human heart, he makes it his home. And where there is not much patience, he provides it. And where there's not much kindness, he generates it. The fourth work of the Holy Spirit I'm going to talk about is his intercession. To intercede means to pray on someone's behalf. People often ask me to pray for them. I hope it's not because they think the prayers of a pastor are any more powerful or likely to be heard than even the meanest of saints. I hope it's just because they need someone to pray for them and to know that they're being prayed for. That's fine. But the Holy Spirit prays for us. Again, Paul tells the Romans in chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's an interesting scripture, which by rights requires its own half an hour to unpack. But it makes two things clear. Number one, often we don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit helps us there. Sometimes when I pray, people just come to mind. Things come to mind. I'm prompted. I'm led. I'm sure you feel that way as well. It doesn't always happen, but sometimes I'll phone someone up and I say, oh, I'm glad you phoned. I needed someone to talk to. It wasn't my intuition, but rather the Holy Spirit prompting. Would that he prompted me more? Would that I was able to take that prompting and realize it and not just put it down to my own thoughts? But furthermore, the Spirit intercedes for us. He prays to God that we might not fall, that we might not trip, that we might not stumble. Well, if the Spirit himself is interceding, I think we're in safe hands. The Spirit also makes us bold. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, clearly when the Lord was speaking there, he wasn't just talking to the apostles, because although some of them may have got to Africa and Italy, they never got to America, they never got to Japan, they never got to China, they never got to South Africa. I don't think they got to our country. And yet the promise there was to the ends of the earth. I know I've said it before, but it's increasingly hard to witness for Christ in the age in which we live. Will you face ridicule? Possibly. Will you be scorned? Maybe. But the Holy Spirit will give you power, will give you boldness, will give you the right words to say for the right occasion. Furthermore, he builds up the church. He gives spiritual gifts for the church's edification. I'm afraid a lot of, I think, what passes for spiritual gifts aren't always from the Spirit. They're from the flesh. They big people up and make themselves think themselves spiritual and this and that and the other. But the true gifts of the Holy Spirit build up the church and bring glory to Christ. And the Holy Spirit is not just active in we believers, but he's active in the local church and perhaps even the worldwide church, empowering it, strengthening it, guiding it, guarding it. Gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, and others beside. And my final point is linked to that. The Lord said in John chapter 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit never testifies to himself. He always points to Christ. And if ever you see a church where Jesus is not the focal point, where his atoning work upon the cross and his empty tomb are not the highlight and the zenith of their belief, there is a church in which the Holy Spirit of God is not found. The Holy Spirit always points to the Savior. Seek more of Jesus Christ and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Now I'm looking at a room full of people. And this much I will say to you, each in your own homes, in your own situations, if you believe in Jesus Christ and his gospel, you have the Holy Spirit. And he's working in your heart. He's making you holy. He's making you bold. He's endowing you with power. He's revealing to you the truth of his own word. You've got him. He's a guarantee of the salvation which is yours. But I also say, seek to be filled with him day after day. I've heard preachers say that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because we are leaking vessels. Well, when we get the new body, there'll be no holes. But while we're in this mortal body, In this mucky world, perhaps we do leak. So seek the Lord Jesus. Seek the filling of his Holy Spirit. Amen.